So we're on page Resh Mem Hey in Das Midasecha. We're up to the middle of the page. Just to remind you, we were learning about how the Sherish of all Midos and really of all Avodas Hashem and the Pesach into the Sugi that we're going to be spending Mitzvah Hashem time on in the coming weeks and months is both of those, is the understanding that not only do we have to work all of our lives on our midos, but we have to work on something that's called eino mida. Now, what does that mean, eino mida? It's not a mida. We learned last week that kutshabichu yisol v'raisa, because Hashem, the Jewish people, the Torah, are one. And each of those, Hashem, Torah, and a Jew, each of those, on the one hand, have midas. We were talking about the 13 midas of Torah, Hashem's midas, and so on, ways of identifying and ways of seeing in an observable, limited fashion, measure, and so on. And a Jew has midas. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is immeasurable, infinite. The Torah, on the one hand, has halachas, has dinim, there are psukim, there are svarim. It has, there's a gvul, there's a certain measure, there's a certain amount of space that it takes up. But then the Torah, of course, is aruchi midim, it's endless, it's infinite, the Torah is infinite. And so it is with each and every one of us. There's that part of us that's called midas, that is within a certain gvul and is measurable and observable and so on. The world of midas. But the essence of a Jew is eino min hamida. The same way we saw how in time, in place, in the soul, a Jew in nefesh is a human being that comes from something that is einam and amida, can't be measured. The same way that we see that in Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, that the Aron was not from the midas of the Kodesh Kodashim, it didn't take up space. It was something beyond midas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course. So we need to understand, what is this ein mida in Avodas Hashem? And as I said last week, that this is the Pesach into the world of Hezbodidus. Regular davening is with the specified words that we have from Chazal, what we have in the Siddur, and that we have in the Machzor, and all of that is min hamidus. It's something which is measurable. It's something which is, it has a gvul. There are letters, there are pages, words, and so on. I mentioned at the end last week, the shiur didn't start on time. I'm sorry you didn't get the, there was a notice that was sent out that it was delayed. We just started a minute ago. But his bodhidus is already something which is not tied down to a specific page, specific words, specific time or place. Davening, there's a shul, there's a siddur. It's min hamida. So let's learn more about this ein mida. Ein mida. On page Resh Mem Hei, we're in the middle of Resh Mem Hei. Amru Chazal. Lecharva Yushalayim Ella al Shadonu ba din Tayru. That statement of the Gemara on its own is very surprising. The Gemara in Bav Metzia says that the underlying cause of the Churban of Yerushalayim was because they judged with Din Tayra. Al Shadonu ba Din Tayra. So what were they supposed to do? Shoela Shem HaGemara. The Gemara asks, Eladine Dimagizesa Dainu, Dini de Magizesa Dainu, which means, what else should they have done? the authorities, the Batei Dinim, and the Jews of Yerushalayim? Should they have decided cases arbitrarily? Dina de Magizisa, the Dainu? What do you mean? Of course they judged with Din Torah. How else do you judge? When we get together in business, it's called a Din Torah. And that's the way that we live. We live according to Halacha. So the Gemara asks, Dina de Magizisa, the Dainu, what people should just judge things arbitrarily, not according to the Dina of the Torah? We would expect just the opposite results, that in a place where Din Torah is being kept, it should last forever. There should be no Churban. And in a place where the Din is not being observed, we would understand that that place would be destroyed, wouldn't last. So what's the Gemara's answer? So everybody knows the Gemara's answer is, Ella Ema Shehemidu Dineim al Din Torah V'Le'Avnu Lifnim Mishuris Hadin. They did everything exactly according to Halacha. Not anything Lifnim Mishuris Hadin, above and beyond. Of course we live according to Halacha. But there are times in life where one doesn't insist upon the Halacha. And you could give in to somebody. You could be moichel. You could go lift the mishur said, then you could do above and beyond the requirement of the law. So the Gemara is saying is that they were halachic Jews. That's it. They did everything halacha. But there's something missing. It's not talking about Hilchus Shabbos. It's not talking about Hilchus Kashrus. They didn't do lifnim and adin. They didn't go beyond themselves to be kinder, more compassionate, to be moichel, to be easy. Everything was 100%. If this is what the din is, that's how it has to be. That's what the Gemara says. Shehemidu dineim al din Torah, v'la'ovdu lifnim yishuris ha-din. And that brought the Churban. That brought the Churban. All machlokes, all sinas chinam comes from that attitude, obviously. The Gemara is saying that underneath everything is this religious attitude that I don't give in, I don't budge, I don't move. Everything, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You owe me 15 cents. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Pay up. This is the Din Torah. Shuras HaDin Hi Hamida. So Schwartz explains, Shuras HaDin means what? Mida. It means the exact rule, the exact law, the boundaries are set, and the law is established. That's called Mida. Nekudas Tagvul. There are borders, there are boundaries. If Halacha requires me to do this, I do it. If Halacha does not require that I go above and beyond to help somebody or do something, whatever it might be, if Halacha doesn't require that, I don't have to do that. No, those are my borders. Those are my boundaries. Shulchan Aruch. I don't do anything more that's required according to the Din Torah. Of course, that's what I'm doing less. But anything more than Din Torah, I don't do. That's Shuras HaDin. Mida, Nekudas HaGvul. Megilacha Ad Kan. If Halacha requires that I do this for you, Megilacha Ad Kan. So, that's the requirement according to Halacha. Become Veilach Lo Megia. I'm not required by the law to go an extra mile for you, or to do you this favor, or to give in on this inyan. I'm not required, so I'm not doing it. Everything is by the books. Din is Mida Ugvul, Ba'omek Echad Heim. Din, Mida, Gvul, Ba'omek. And the deeper level, these are all one thing. Din, Mida, Gvul. like we say in Yom Nirovim, Tematzi Oimek HaDin. We're asking Hashem, please don't judge us by Oimek HaDin. Could you please go lift the Mishuvah Sadin? We're asking Hashem always to be knowing him on a lift in the Mishuvah Sadin. HaDin Oimer, Zekain V'Zelo. Din says, this yes, this no. Zeh Shulcha, V'Zelo Shulcha. This belongs to you. This doesn't belong to you. Higbalti Yisadav. So Din always means I'm making nidos, I'm making boundaries, Gvulim. That's what Din is. V'Areish Nesati Lo Gvul, Nesati Lo Mida. Everything in life has a Gvul and has a Mida. So when life in Yerushalayim became a life of din Torah, of al mida bilvad, everything is midas hadin, everything is with the gvul, everything is exactly what's required, not pushing myself, not doing extra, not lifting the mishuras hadin, not letting go, not forgiving. He harva. Yerushalayim was destroyed. Lahay lakiyim. It couldn't go on. It couldn't continue. Hagemara Maseches Bavabasra Omeres Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Loses Yerushalayim B'Mida V'Chulu. Hashem was going to make Yerushalayim with exact measurements, exact boundaries. Omar Malach HaShos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the angel said, Rabbi Yerushalayim, Habei Korachim Barasa Baylamach Baylamcha Shalom Asayilam. Rabbi Yerushalayim, you created many cities for the Goyim. In the world, there are a lot of cities that the Goyim have. Lenasata midas archon midas rachman. You didn't bring down a rule that New York is exactly this many miles by that many miles, or that Tokyo is this many feet by that many feet, or that London is exactly like this or exactly like that. You didn't make a din that every city has pinklech exactly a midah. And you want to make Yerushalayim that should have midas, like the Beis Hamikdash has midas. You want that Yerushalayim should have exact measurements? So Yerushalayim, which is the dwelling place of your Shechina, of your name, and it contains the Beis Hamikdash. With tzaddikim b'soicha, the biggest tzaddikim are living in Yerushalayim. At the noisin b'mida, you're making it in such a way, like that pinklach. You're making it with measurements, with limitations, with borders, with boundaries. So Hashem wanted them to say that, you understand? That's when Hashem does that, when he's trying to get us to come to something. He wants to teach us something. So we did. So what happened? Miyad Hashem was pleased, and Hashem said, Vayomer Elov, Roitz Daber Lanar Halaz Lemer, Prozos Teshev Yerushalayim, Meroiv Odom Ubehema Besoich. And what? Go run and tell the now that person, Prozos Teshev Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim in the future, Prozos Teshev, no walls, wide open. Yerushalayim Prozos Teshev. Again, it's a kasha about what do you mean, no walls? What about Kedushas Chaimus in the city? Prozos Teshev Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is going to be without walls. Meroiv Odom Ubehema Besoicha, there's going to be so many people that the walls can't, the city limits can't contain the population of Yerushalayim. Because the Yerushalayim is going to be bursting everywhere. Ufarasta Yom of a Cave of Safari. There's no midas. Yerushalayim doesn't have any midas. Klaimer, La'osa Lova, Kashbaruch, Yitzel, La'osa Midas Yerushalayim. The Gemara is saying that in the future, Hashem is going to say, okay, I'm going to make now the official city limits of Yerushalayim. But Hashem is makabel the tain of the angels, of the malachim, and he leaves Yerushalayim in such a way, bli mida, page Reish Mem Vav. In Yerushalayim, nimtzeis rak b'matzav sheyesh la mida, if Yerushalayim would have these exact borders, these boundaries, these limits, then it cannot be the city of the Shechina, of the Tzaddikim, of the Beis HaMikdash. It can't be. Adrabba, the Gemara told us before, that because they were dan din Torah, Yerushalayim was destroyed. That's the Churban of Yerushalayim. If you marry a person, and everything about that person is midas, din and midas, that's a Churban. The person never goes lifnim mishuras hadin. The person lives only according to certain limitations. There are no dreams. There are no explosions. There are no beyond the boundaries. There's no something greater. It's everything is exactly what the midah is. That's the Churban of Yerushalayim. That's the Churban of a marriage. If you run your house according to every rule and regulation, and no rules are ever broken or bypassed or you don't override any rules, so that's a Churban of a house. That's everything is din Torah, and there's no lift the Mishur Sanadin. It's the Churban of the house. It's the Churban of the family. If a teacher runs a classroom like that, din Torah Mida, that's how the teacher runs a classroom, and the teacher never turns away from something that happens that's not so good and doesn't let it go. It's a Churban of the classroom. It's a Churban of the school. That's the tine of the Malachim. Even the cities of the world, they don't have exact midas. Yerushalayim is going to be b'mida. So of course Hashem said, process taste of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim stretches on and on and on and on. Doesn't have a midah. Rakim Yerushalayim nimseis gam begilui shelamal min hamidah. Chayim lifnim yishur sadin, oz yesh li'ir ha-kaydash kiyum. The only way that Yerushalayim can have a kiyum, can survive, and can thrive, is if what? If it's lifnim yishur sadin. People are ma'ichel. Hashem is baruch is ma'ichel. There are exceptions that are made. There are loopholes that are used. V'chulu v'chulu. But you can't go with midas sadin. Mi'yamad l'fanecha b'din. If the Baruch Shalom were to judge us, by Shoshana, if Hashem was to judge us, if Midas Adin, Miyam Lefanach Abedin, Hashem would go with Mida, Mida can I get Mida, Miyam Lefanach Abedin. Who could possibly be zoich in Hashem's eyes in such a way if Midas Adin? So the biggest avoda during the time of Elul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that a Jew should have an eye in Taif, and he should go in a way of lifting the Mishra Saddin. And that if we behave with each other in a way of lifting the Mishra Saddin, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes lifting the Mishra Saddin. So you do something extra, then Hashem goes extra for you. If you go out of your way, Hashem goes out of his way. It's not Midas and Gvulim. Of course, this doesn't mean we don't have to work on our Midas, and it doesn't mean that we don't have to keep Halacha. I think everybody understands what we're learning, what this means. Lift the Mishur Saddin in a good way. Lift the Mishur Saddin. The Suma Alenu Lesboin in Lahavin, Hechon Benavshenu Kaim Amemad Shalamalam and Amida. Let's try to investigate to understand where this Inyan of Ein Mida, where this is in the soul, what this is inside of us, and to be able to access that inside of ourselves. What does that mean? So I mentioned last week that Hisbodus is one of the most powerful ways of strengthening this Ein Mida of a person. But there are many things. Let's learn. K'shen Hisbonin La'omek, Kol HaKoichus HaNafshim SheYeshnu Ba'adam, Yesh Lahem Gvul. When you look at things deeply, all the Koichus HaNefesh of a person have a limit, to have a gvul. There's a certain gvul. The midas of rachmim, yesh gvul. With a human being, the midah of rachmim, of compassion, of rachmanis, has a gvul. Of empathizing, it has a gvul. Hechazal oimim kol shuhu rachman alachzorim l'soif nachsa achzor rachmanim. The Gemara says that you have to be careful. If you have rachmim in a situation where you have rachmim on horrible, cruel people. So then in the end, Nasa Achzar Rachmanim, in the end, that perversity is going to turn around and you're going to be cruel in a place where you should have Rachmanis. That's the way it is. There are people that say that every prisoner should now be let out of prison. I started already a year ago, something like that, with this bail, you know, whatever, no bail, and now, of course, no police. There shouldn't be any police. There shouldn't be any midas. There shouldn't be any gvum. There shouldn't be any. So that's a hefkeris. People are getting killed all over the country. The country is crazy. It's crazy. Because Rachman has a gvul. We can have Rachman on a serial murderer. If you have Rachman on a serial murderer, you end up being cruel to the nice person, which is exactly what's happening. So in these neighborhoods, they're having Rachman on the murderers. Don't arrest the poor guy. After all, he had a tough upbringing, you know, you can't arrest him. The fact is that he's killed 45 people, knives and guns, and he's a violent drug dealer. Listen, it's Rachmanis, you know. You have to have compassion on the guy. In the end, you're being compassionate when it comes to this cruel murderer, and then what happens? Who are you being cruel to? You're being cruel to the other 98% of the population. They're just regular nice people. So the animals are running around, burning down buildings, destroying the whole neighborhood. And who suffers from it? You have Rachmanis on the criminal. And who are you being cruel to? You're being cruel to the nice people that want to keep the law. There was a pathetic clip that someone showed me. I don't know when this was from. It was from recently or from one of the earlier riots, whatever it was, where these gangs were going around burning down stores. And there was a black store owner. And the black store owner was crying. And he said, "You ruined my whole life. I'm building this business up for my whole life. 30, 40 years, I'm building this business up." So the police can't do anything about it because they're not allowed to. They have to go away. So what's happening? So the liberals are being compassionate. They say you have to have Rachman. This guy, this poor guy, why is he protesting? He's protesting because he's been mistreated. He's upset, could be. He's protesting, and he's breaking down things. He's burning stores down. So you have Rachmanis on the arson. You have Rachmanis on the murderer. And you end up what? You're being cruel to the nice guy that built up this store for 40 years. He's working hard. And on him, you're being cruel. It's always like that. So we see that Rachmim has a gvul. I don't know if this was discussed at the Democratic National Convention. They're such nice people, after all. They're such kind people. Rachmim has a gvul. Rachmim has a gvul. And you have to know what to say, ad kan. This is not the time or place to pity and to have compassion. There needs to be a gvul, there needs to be din. This, you know, the beginning when this started, I thought, like, you know, it's interesting. It's starting to get really out of control. And if they win, it's not funny. It's getting scary. What's going on in our country? I haven't been to Manhattan. I mean, I used to go to Manhattan. I used to go to Manhattan when I went to Meridian. There was the only time I went to Manhattan, or sometimes I had to go to a dinner when someone was being honored. I went to the Hyatt, you know, in and out of the car. But I haven't really been to Manhattan. But someone was telling me the other day, one of the guys in the mountains was telling me, you wouldn't recognize it. The place is like filled, homeless people, everything's closed, places are like shuttered. It looks like from a Western. I'm sure it's exaggerated, but the city is being destroyed. From what? Rachmanis, Rachamim. From Rachamim. Rachamim has a gvul. And if you don't put a proper gvul to Rachamim, if there's no midah to your Rachamim, to the midah of Rachamim, in the end, the nice, good, hardworking people are the ones who are suffering. Who's getting killed in those neighborhoods now? Who's getting killed? Nice people are getting killed. Innocent people are getting killed. Besides that, the gangs kill each other. There was a little baby sitting in a stroller. and the animals are shooting each other, and some little baby gets killed in a stroller. But what? You have to have rachmanis. On who? On the guys who are shooting, you have rachmanis. But to have rachmanis on illegal immigrants, right? To have rachmanis. 60, 70% of these, these are not bubbies and zaydis, how come, you understand? 60, 70% of these are mamish, ganavim and rotschim, drug dealers, rotschim. You have to have rachmanis and let them in. And who suffers? The nice people that live in those places, that they're the ones that get destroyed by these people. So it has to have a gvul in this world that has a gvul. That's what it means, the Gemara, the Medrash. Kol shehu rachman alachzarim l'soif nachza achzar al rachman. So there was a taina that Shaul HaMelech had rachmanis on Amalek. So that's rachmanis. And from Amalek comes out the Nazis. So where's the rachmanis? You have rachmanis on Amalek. And because of the shrine from Amalek, we had the Nazis. What's the rachmanis? All of these so-called bleeding heart liberals, they love people so much. They have such compassion. They have such compassion. They live in gated neighborhoods. When they don't see one of these rioters or protesters they never saw in their lives. They never invited them. They never had once in their house. Maybe only on their working staff. And then they make them take fingerprints when they come in. But they can go around the whole city destroying the city. They have rachmanis. Im kein harachmim hem gvulim ad ha'achzer. Ba'achzer yesh le'atzor. When there's somebody that's cruel, you don't have rachmanis on someone that's cruel. You lock him up. You lock him up and you throw the key. You kick the key into the sewer. That's what you do with somebody that's a cruel murderer. I just had a phone call when I was on the way back now from the country. I had a phone call. There was a yid that called to tell me, listen to this. I don't know if you heard about this. There's a yid that called to tell me. I don't know what to do, but I said, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know why you're calling me. So he's calling rabbis up. But there was a fine Jew that called to say that the other day, I don't know when this happened, that there was some guy next door to Yeshiva Katana. Did you hear what happened over there? Oh, got out? Next door to Yeshiva Katana, they're having day camp. And there's a neighbor, some not-Jewish neighbor there, that was angry because kids were not socially distanced. He was watching them in the camp. And he started to threaten that he's going to kill the kids. He's going to shoot them. So they told the camp, called up the police. The police came. They found that this guy had 25 rifles and guns in his house. And he was high on drugs. So he could have done that, God forbid. In the meantime, because of the politicians and because of whatever it is that this guy was telling me, I don't know anything what happened. But he tried calling politicians. You understand, the party is the party of Joe Biden and of Bernie Sanders. And he tried getting something done. And he was taken to, the police came. He was taken to jail. And he's out now on $5,000 bail, this guy. Back in his house with his guns and rifles. $5,000 bail. It seems that if you would sell, according to those people, you would sell a soda that has too many calories in it, they give you, you'd be sitting in jail with a higher bail than $5,000. That's what's happening in the country. And this guy told me that he has grandchildren in Yeshiva and the camp in Yeshiva Tana, and he doesn't know what to do about it. I said, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know anything about the law or how this works. And, you know, I call him. Talk to a lawyer, find out what you can do about this. Speak to journalists. I don't know. But $5,000 bail, a guy that has guns in his house, and he said he's going to kill the children? $5,000? No. It's pretty cheap to let a guy out like that? No, because it's Rachmanis. Because they asked the neighbors, he told me they asked the neighbors, and the neighbors said, no, he's not a dangerous guy. He's a collector. He's a collector. He's not a dangerous guy. He was yelling that I'm going to shoot all the kids. He was high. So that's the Rachmanis. It's not a Rachmanis on a camp full of children and the counselors. It's a Rachmanis on who? On the some drug addict that has a basement with guns. That's a Rachmanis. Kach gam midas chesed. Also when it comes to kindness. Kama adam yochel ases chesed b'payel. How kind can a person be? How much love? How much kindness? Adam shereis l'dugma l'hate b'mamad. When yochel ases the yais mash sheyeshlo. You can be the nicest person in the world, but there's still a midah, there's still a gvul. First of all, in halacha, there's a midah of meiser, not more than chaimish. But even if you're the kind of person you want to give everything away, but self, you're limited to what you have. Even wealthy people like Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and Kamala, even wealthy people like this, there's only so much that they could give away because there's so much, or even Donald Trump, there's only so much that these people can give away. You're limited by how much you can. You take a check. If you write somebody a check, vein lo kisui, but you can't cover the check because you don't have the money in the bank, zilo chesed, that's not a kindness. The bank is going to charge the guy a couple of dollars because he has a check that bounced. So that's a kindness. I could also write out a check for $1 million, but I don't have $1 million. So that's not a chesed. There's a limitation to how much each person can do and how much he can give. Then you have another example. You have this person that he's a big bal chesed. Somebody was telling me that there's about this guy that he has, you know, every Shabbos he has at his table 50, 60, 70 people. Because he wants to be like some of these famous tzaddikim, tzadkanias, that they have 70, 80 people. But the problem is that this person's kids are dying. They're leaving Yiddishkeit. They don't have any connection to him. And what he needs to do is to say, what? No one's invited for Shabbos. I'm going to spend Shabbos with my kids, talking to my kids. But for the last 10 years, every Shabbos is totally hefka over there. And his kids have no shaykes to him. But he's such a nice guy. Because the house is an open house. And he read some book about this tzaddikus, or this tzaddik, that they had an open house. So he made his house an open house. That's cruel. Because there's a gvul, there's a midah to chesed. And what about if your wife wants to live this way? What if she doesn't want to live that way? What if she doesn't want to live like that, cleaning up after people? What if she doesn't want to live that way? So you're a nice guy. You like making parties. You want to be the nicest guy in the neighborhood. You want to let every single person in. So a chesed has a gvul. First of all, you can't give what you don't have. Back is mashiach, only what you have. And also, a person's kaychas are limited. And if you're going to say yes to everybody and yes to everything, it's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin your family. And you're not good for anybody. You're not good for your family. You're not good for yourself. There's a limit. So therefore, chesed is also with a gvul. Midas ahava gam hi gvulas. Even love, which of course is midas achesed, but love, even ahava. Even love. It is very clear when we see some of the consequences of love. The dogma, for instance, Odom Ohev is a b'nei mishpachtai. You have a person who loves his family. Beautiful, good. Hatelodom me'ahavazu shuhumanik no saying. The consequences of the fact that he loves his family is that he gives. He gives to the family. He's good to them. Beautiful. Telodazu b'vadei gvulas. So first of all, there's a gvul to how much he can give. Sheni yochel lahanik l'mal min hagvul. First of all, he can't afford to give his kids everything they want. The kids want to have this vacation. They want to have this toy. He can't afford that. So he can't do more than he can afford. And if he tries to, he's going to end up stealing or working himself into such a way that he's not going to be able to manage. There's a gvul. He buys a gift for the kid that costs a certain amount, and knows in Dom Swim, he gives the kid a certain thing. So his love is being limited by how much of that he could show by way of giving a present. And even though it means giving, even telling the kid how much you love him, there are times that by doing that, you're destroying the kid. Because at that moment of the kid's life, he needs to have more of a midas adin. Love is something that has limits, has limitations. It's limited by external realities that you can't afford necessarily to do everything you want for your kid. You can't necessarily do that, not financially, not emotionally, whatever it might be. And there are other reasons why it often that love has to be limited. It has to be controlled. My wife was showing me a letter that was written to one of the magazines last week, one of the four magazines, an article of some sort. There was a woman that was saying that there's this new thing that she didn't grow up with. She sounds like she's like 60, 70, but there's this new thing that your family should be all the time, every with you, every Shabbos, all the time, everywhere you go, that you should have your children, your grandchildren, one big happy family. And she said, she didn't see that ever until now. Of course, there's always inviting and loving and being together. But there are boundaries. There are boundaries because that way of giving is not always healthy. It could often breed contempt and resentment. You have to be very careful that there are boundaries. Even with your own children and grandchildren, you have to be careful. This new mahalach that if you really love me, then you would, everything is all the time just for me, everything. That's not good for the kid. That doesn't build up a kid. I was yelling at the chaver in the bungalow. I sit by my window where I learned Baruch Hashem. I have a window that's beautiful trees, and there's like a road in the back where people can park. And you have the children are going on bicycles and scooters, you know, and that's where they go. It's nice. What I've noticed over the past couple of years is that the chosh of the kids, they don't have scooters where you actually have to scoot. Oh, no. Scooting is a thing of the past. They have different things. They have electronic scooters. The kids are going 50 miles an hour without a helmet on electronic. Then they have a board, there's a word for it, a board. Anyway, it just seems to go on its own. I don't know how it works. There's a word for it, a board of some kind.
Hoverboard.
A hoverboard. The kids are going like this. Kid's got a bulk. He's got a stomach coming out 4 feet like this. And he's driving around with his phone on his hoverboard, going up and down the road with his phone. Up and down the road with his phone on a hoverboard. So, Rabbeinu Shalom, what if it happens like using your leg? My Yankee's not going to scoot. That's for the losers in the other bungalow colony. But in our bungalow colony, you don't have to scoot. It's an electronic scooter. Or you have these 3-year-old kids driving around in these cars. They make a lot of these electric cars, you know, for kids. They make a lot of noise driving around. These kids in electronic cars, and I'm so scared because you see then a truck going by on the same road, and these little 3-year-old kids are going electronic cars. A tricycle? Tricycle's not for our children. A scooter, hoverboard, electronic. If my Yankee wants this, if my Sarala wants a hoverboard, you get a hoverboard. You don't have to scoot up the hill or go down or play with a scooter. No. I'm not just saying this. It's not about our play. The place is a beautiful place, wonderful people. And it's just a symbol of what's going on with this generation now of unbelievable love, indulgence beyond belief, giving and giving and giving and giving, vacations of giving and giving and giving and more and more and more. And then you raise a child and you try to understand 30 years later, how come any curveball that comes my kid's way, she falls into a million pieces? Because mommy and daddy always took care of everything. You stuck the guy a $5 bill, you give this one here. You don't have to even park in the parking in the garage. Your kid doesn't have to walk with you to go 5 minutes to walk in the garage. You just give the guy $2 and you say, Mr. So-and-so, you know, you put the car over here to me. Your kid doesn't even have to walk 50 feet. And then when they get older and they don't have the same money that you have, or maybe something happens, God forbid, and she ends up to be a single mom, or he ends up in some kind of a bad situation. You know what? You got to park your own car. You know what? You might not even be able to afford a car. And then you come to mommy and daddy. So not only that, he have to give you a car, and they also have to give you a pocket full of money to tip off the guy, so he has to park the car for you, so you shouldn't have to wait for your car, or you shouldn't have to walk 50 feet in the garage to get your car. But that's how it is. That's our generation. And we're guilty of that. Us, our generation, our chevra, we're guilty. We did that. We did that. And we don't even know yet the results of this. We're seeing a little bit. We don't know the results of this. Chesed has to have also gevulim. There's a midah. There are limitations. There are limitations to what I can do, and the limitations to what I should be doing. What I should be doing. There are limitations. And if without those midahs, without those limitations, we're not helping our children, we're destroying our children. We're not helping them to get ready to live in this world. We're not helping them with life. The kid doesn't have to even put his foot on the thing to press the scooter. He doesn't have to push the scooter. Besides this, that he's finally free. He's out of school. He can go and run around and have a good time. And now he uses an electric scooter instead of playing and running with his friends. He's on a scooter. I'm only using that as a marshal, you understand. It's not the biggest avera in the world. None of these are big averas. But I'm using it as a marshal to understand how all of the midas, the most beautiful midas, but they have midas, they have gvulim, and they have to have. Yeah, even if you'd like to help every person in the world, you can't. And even if you want to help every person in your neighborhood, whatever, you can't. They're a gevulim. That's how life is. Soif davar. Ha'adam beheyayisai nivra. The bottom line is, a human being is a nivra. He's not Hashem, he's a nivra. He's created. And therefore, hu gevuli. They're a gevulim. So therefore, everything about a human being, his intellect is limited, his koiches hanefesh are limited, his love is limited, his rachamim is limited. Even the deepest part of a person. Even if you're the deepest person in the world, you can't go on living forever. At some point, you're going to run out, you're going to die. L'chayra, it seems that a human being is doomed to being stuck within boundaries and limited by midas and gvulim. Bore im kain, shemitzad ha'ani ka'ani, hinenu gvulim. It's clear that as human beings, and the Jew is like every other human being, in that respect, we're going to get to the part B in a second. Well, maybe next in a week. But in that regard, we're gvulim. We have gvulim. We're limited. We're not Hashem. Heichan efom is galabod v'amei, but she'en lo gvul. So in what way is a human being without a gvul? All we've been talking about today is gvulim and midas. So what does it mean that a human being is bilti mugbal? Only Hashem is without a gvul. Only Hashem is without a midas. And yet, Yerushalayim was destroyed because Yerushalayim stuck to the midas. So obviously, there is a way to get out of to go beyond our borders. There is a way to move beyond those places. How, what that means, when, and so on, Mitzvah Shem will continue with next week. Okay, Chavim. Okay, everybody from Mesh Kodesh, I'll see you on Shabbat.